Okay, so we were holding by the Mishnah, Mishnah Bey is in the parak, Parim Hanisrafim, Usirim Hanisrafim. Okay, so what is the case over here? The Mishnah says as follows. Parim Hanisrafim, bulls that get burnt, Usirim Hanisrafim, and male goats, that's a sawyer, Hanisrafim, that get burnt. Now what does that mean? And usually by a carbon chatas, what happens is that you bring the carbon, and the kayanim eat the meat of the chatas. However, there are certain karbanos that you bring a carbon chatos that nobody eats any of the meat. The meat, all of the meat is nisraf, all of the meat is burnt outside of Yerushalayim in a special place that's going to be mentioned later in the Mishnah called the Beis Hadeshen. Beis Hadeshen is a place of ashes outside of Yerushalayim, and that's where these special karbanos were burnt. Now, this is a special example of a carbon chatos, parim hanisrafim, a case of a bull, you bring a par, that's nisraf. The primary case of Parim Hanisrafim is when Beis Din paskins that, by mistake, that's a certain thing which is asr, they paskin that it's mutter, that you're allowed to do it, and most of Klal Yisrael, more than 50% of the Jewish people, are nichshal because of the psak of Beis Din. This is the whole topic of Masech Tohirias, which means that Beis Din paskin and the Yidin allow themselves this thing even though it was really usher. And then the whole tzibur, the whole Klal Yisrael has to bring a carbon. It's brought on behalf of everyone. And that's the carbon of par. It's called par helem dover shel tzibur. Par helem dover, something that was an error, shel tzibur, that the whole tzibur, or most of the tzibur, was nichshal with this psak of Beis Din. That's the primary case of parim hanisrafim. And se'irim hanisrafim is the same type of case. However, if the aveira that they ended up doing was avodah zarah, they served Avodah Zarah because Beis Din paskened that in a certain situation it would be mutter, and they were wrong, there was taka asr. So then the carbon that's brought is a goat, a sawyer, instead of a par. In both these cases, even though it's a carbon chatas, the kayanim did not eat the meat of the carbon. Rather, it was nisraf, the entire thing was burnt. That's parim hanisrafim, usirim hanisrafim. So what does it say about these karbanas? Shchitasan bat safayim, just like we had by regular by the carbon oila, shchitasan bat safin, the shchita is in the north side of the azara, of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The kibul daman, the accepting of the blood, is done b'chli shareis, in a special keli that has kedusha, kli shareis bat safin, also in the north part of the azara. V'daman ta'un hazaya, the blood needs hazaya, needs sprinkling, ala paroiches, on the paroiches, on the curtain that separates between the kodesh and the kodesh kadashim. Va'al mizbach hazav, and on the golden mizbech, said by the par v'sar shal yom ha-kippurim in the first Mishnah, that it needed sprinkling in these two places. In addition, it needed sprinkling in the kodesh kadashim, bein habadim, between the two poles of the aron. Here, besides on Yom Kippur, there's no other karbanis that need blood sprinkled inside the kodesh kadashim. So therefore, these parim hanisrafim, usir hanisrafim, need sprinkling blood in two places. First, al ha-paroiches, on the curtain, and also va'al mizbach hazav, on the mizbeach hazav. Okay, so now what does it say about these hazayas, these sprinklings? Matana achas mehen ma'akavis. Even if you're missing one of the sprinklings of the blood, it's ma'akev, it prevents the kapara from taking place. Shiyari hadam, the leftover blood after the sprinkling, hoya shoyfech al yisoid ma'aravi shal mizbeach hachitzin. The kohen would pour on the yisoid, the western yisoid, the western base of the mizbeach. As we said last time, on the bottom of the mizbeach didn't just go straight down to the floor. On the bottom, there was an amma, there was a base that went like, it was indented in amma, and it was an amma by an amma, and that went more than halfway around the mizbeach. So on the western side, all the rest, the remaining blood, after you did the little sprinkling of the paroiches and the mizbeach hazav, the kohen would pour it on top of the yisoid of mizbeach, that was called shvicha shirayim, pouring the remainder of the blood, and that's a mitzvah to do with the rest of the blood. However, it says, im loy nasan, if he didn't do that, loy ikev, that is not ma'akev, that does not prevent the kapara. As long as he sprinkled the blood on the right place, so then even if he didn't do this mitzvah of shvich hashirayim, pouring the remainder on the base of the mizbeach, loy ikev, it does not prevent the kapara. Now the Mishnah ends off, elu va'elu nisrafin beveis hadashim. Both the karbanos that I mentioned in the first Mishnah and the karbanos that I mentioned in the second Mishnah, the par v'sar that's brought on Yom Kippur, and also the parim hanisrafim, usirim hanisrafim, for the error that everybody did based on the Beis Din either the par when it was other averus or the sayer when it was avoid zara. All those are nisrafin beveis hadashen. As we mentioned, there was a place outside of Yerushalayim called the place of ashes, the beis hadashen, and all of them were burnt there. So really, in essence, all these karbanos that we mentioned until now are called parim hanisrafim, usirim hanisrafim. Just par v'sar sheyom kippurim has its own special name because it was done on Yom Kippur and it had an added place to sprinkle the blood in the kodesh kadashim. But really, this was all in the category of parim hanisrafim, usirim hanisrafim. Just tell over, once I heard a story from Rav Moshe Chadosh, who's a Rosh Hashiva in Aral Chonon in Eretz Yisrael, and he was telling over about an Alta Yid who was a big Amo Eretz. He didn't know anything, but he was an Alta Yid. He used to say Karbanis every day, even though he didn't understand anything that he was saying. And one day, the Rav of the Shul came in, and he saw this Yid saying, and he was saying Karbanis, and he was crying, mamish crying, going through the Mishnayos. So the Rav went over to him. He assumed, like, why is someone crying during saying Karbanis? It's not so sad. So he assumed that he's crying because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore these days to bring the Karbanos. So he went over to the person, he said, is everything okay? So he says, yeah, it's just a very sad Mishnah. So he said, what's so sad about the Mishnah? So he said, Parah Manas Rafim, Usir Manas Rafim, I feel so bad for the guy. His cows are getting burnt, his bulls are getting burnt, his goats are getting burnt. Everything is burning up. The guy must lose so much money. So he didn't know anything that the Mishnah was talking about. So he thought, Stam, there was a farmer here who had Parim, he had Sirim, and it's all Nisur. So he said, that's many people say the Kabbanis, no one knows what it means. So you think that it's Nebuch, a sad story. Parah Manas Rafim, Usir Manas Rafim. So that's what he was saying. A person has to learn the title of the Mishnah to know exactly what we're saying. But Dafka told you the story after we explained the Mishnah, because before we wouldn't have gotten the joke, because you think maybe he's right, that's the pshat. But after we know the pshat, that this is special types of karbanis, that the whole par is burnt, or the whole soil is burnt, so this is not a sad story about a farmer, this is pashat the din, that a person is supposed to bring a karma chatas. Usually a karma chatas is eaten by the kohen, we'll see soon. But these special cases of parim hanisrafim, usirim hanisrafim, the entire thing is burnt. Elu ve'elu nisrafim beveis hadashen. It's burnt outside of Yerushalayim, and nobody eats any part of it. Okay, so now the Mishnah continues. Chatois hatzibur v'hayot. Chatois hatzibur means the communal carbon chatos, the carbon chatos that's brought on behalf of the entire tzibur. V'hayochid, and the individual carbon chatos, if someone does an avera in his own way, is in himself, so then that's a carbon chatos yochid. These are now, from now on, this Mishnah is discussing the regular carbonos chatos. Till now we were discussing the exceptional cases, a carbon chatos where you sprinkle the blood inside, in the kodesh. That's called chatois pnimios, inside chatois. Those are the exception. Now we're talking about regular karbanos where the sprinkling of the blood is only going to be on the outer mizbeach, the mizbeach hachitzain that was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's called chatois chitzainios, outer chatois, because there's no applying the blood anywhere inside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So now, chatois hatzibur, we're going to explain in a minute. The Mishnah itself will explain what's the din of chatois hayachid. So a chatos yachid, very simply, is when someone does an avera, that if he would do it intentionally, if he would do it b'mezid, he would be chayiv kares. So if he does it unintentionally, if he does it b'shoyge, so he's chayiv to bring a carbon chatos. That's what the Gemara calls. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Tes, Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, kol shez doinai kares, shegigosai chatos. Kol shez doinai kares, any avera, that if you would do it intentionally, you'd be chayiv kares. Shigagasa, if you do it unintentionally, you do it by mistake, you didn't know that it was usher to do that, then a person is chayiv of a carbon chatas. So that's called chatas hayochid, an individual carbon chatas. If a person doesn't avera by mistake, even if he does it on purpose, he's chayiv of a different punishment. But even when someone does something by mistake, but he didn't learn the halachas and he didn't know that such a thing was usher, so he's chayiv to bring a carbon. And this is one of the main reasons why it's important to say these mishnayos in the morning, specifically the mishnah of a carbon chatas. Because right afterwards, there's a hiratzin to say that if a person is chayiv a carbon chatas, so this saying, this Mishnah should be ke'ilu, we bring a carbon chatas, and it helps as if we brought a carbon chatas. So no one who can say that we didn't even do any avera by mistake, I mean, we do averas even on purpose sometimes, but to do unintentionally an avera, who can say that they never did an avera b'shoigeng? So that's why it's important, especially the Mishnah of chatas yochid, that a person should try to find time to say. Akoparim, that's the din of chatas hayochid, and chatas tzibur. Now, the Mishnah is going to explain what chatas hatzibur means. Chatas hatzibur vehayochid. Elu hein chatas hatzibur. The following are the chatas hatzibur, the chatas, the carbon chatas that are brought on behalf of the entire tzibur, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Two types. Si'irei roshei chadashim v'shel moyadois. What does that mean? Si'ir is a male goat. Si'irim that are brought on roshei chadashim, which means resh chodesh. both the Rosh Chodeshes of the year, that's called Rosh Chodashim, the Shalmai Adais, and of the Yomtiv. That means if you're familiar, there's a carbon musaf every Rosh Chodesh, and every Yomtiv, a carbon musaf was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. That means Rosh Chodesh, whether it was one day or 2 days, there was a carbon musaf in addition to the first carbon of the day, the carbon Tamid Shal Shachar, there was an added carbon, a carbon musaf. And Moy Adais is Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the Shalosh Regalim, and also Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Those five are considered the Mayades. Chanukah and Purim were special days, but there was not special Karbanis Musaf. And that's why these days, when we don't have the Karbanis, there are special days that we say Tfilas Musaf. When do we daven Musaf? We daven Musaf on the days that we were supposed to bring a Karban Musaf. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and Rosh Chodesh. Chanukah and Purim could be a Yantif Midrabana, but since it wasn't in our Torah, there was no Karban Musaf, so we don't daven Musaf on Chanukah and Purim. Why don't we daven Musaf? Because there was no carbon Musaf, except in the middle of Chanukah comes Rosh Chodesh Teves. So then we daven Musaf because there was a carbon Musaf because of Rosh Chodesh. Nothing to do with Chanukah. But anyway, so those were the days that there was a carbon Musaf brought. And the carbon was brought, a male goat, a sawyer, Seirei Rosh Chodesh and Vishal Mayadois. These were carbonis chatas that represented all of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't because one person did an Aveira. It was Tam, a carbon chatas that was brought every Rosh Chodesh and every Mayid. And that's the listing. These were regular chatois tzibur that were brought, and they didn't need any sprinkling of the blood inside the kodesh. This was all on the outer mizbeach. That's why it's separate here in this mishnah and wasn't mentioned in the first mishnah. And now you understand the pasuk in chumash that comes up many times, that we don't know the taich of the pasuk until we learn this mishnah, that it says usiiri zim echad lechatos. You bring one male goat for a chatos milavad oilas hatamid. Besides the carbon oil that was brought as a tamid, the first carbon every day, mincha sav and iska with its mincha and its nesach. So what does it mean? Siri zim echad lechatos. That's what we're talking about. Every Rosh Chodesh, every mayid was a special carbon. Besides the carbon tamid in the morning, was a carbon musaf, which was special for those days. And now with no Beis HaMikdash, so then we have a special tefillah called tefillas musaf. Okay, so what's the din that the Mishnah says by these karbanos chatos? Shchitas on bat tzafon, you could touch it yourself already by now. The shchita, the shechting of the carbon had to be done in the north of the Azara, in the north of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The kibul daman, accepting the blood, b'chli shareis, in the special kli shareis, the holy kli, bat tzafon also had to be in the north. The daman ta'un arba matanois al arba kronois. Its blood required four matanos, that means four sprinklings of the blood, al arba kronos, on the four corners. Now, what does that mean, the four corners? On top of the Mizbeach, if you ever looked at the pictures, on the four corners of the Mizbeach, there were these four blocks. Each corner had its own keren, its own block. It was exactly an amma by an amma and an amma high. Amma wide, an amma long, an amma high. Amma by an amma by an amma. On one corner, on all four corners. So what happened? The Kohen had to sprinkle the blood with his finger by the Karban Chatos, one on each of these corners. Arba Matanois, four sprinklings of the blood. Al Arba Kronois, on the four corners, on these four blocks, one on each corner. He would dip his finger in the bowl that had the blood, his right index finger, and he would take it with his finger and he would sprinkle it all around. How did he get around? So the Mishnah says exactly how he was supposed to do this procedure. Ketzad, how was he able to sprinkle four times on the four corners? Olav HaKevish, he went up on the ramp. The ramp to the Mizbeach was called the Kevish. It was a very long ramp. He went up on the ramp. Ufana LaSoyvev, and then he turned off to a ledge called the Soyvev. Now, again, if you've ever seen pictures of the Mizbeach, it would be easier. The Mizbeach is 10 amos high. 10 amos high. So you have a ramp that's leading up. However, 6 amos high, a little more than halfway up the Mizbeach, there was an indentation, and that indentation formed a ledge. It was also an amma. You would go around the Mizbeach, you could walk around this whole ledge, and then the 4 amos on top was the top part of the Mizbeach. So now what we have is 4 amos going down, then this ledge, an amma, then the other 5 amos till the Yisoid. Then the Yisoid went out again. There was a base, like we said, where the Shvich HaShiraim was. And then the floor. So the Mizbeach was really made up of 3 parts. First the Yisoid, and then the next 5 amos till the ledge, and then the top 4 till the top of the Mizbeach. So what does that mean? He went up the ramp. From the big ramp, there was a small ramp that leads him off to the Soyvev. 6 amos up, there was a ramp that leads him off to the Soyvev, to this ledge. And the Kohen would be able to walk on this ledge and balance himself, walk around the ledge. Now, where did he start from? The Kevish was on the south side of the Mizbeach. Looking that way is the west. So on the west, that was the Kodesh Kadashim, and then came the Kodesh, and then the courtyard over here. courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Right in the middle there was the Mizbeach, and on the south side, if that way is west, so on the south side was a ramp leading up. As he walked up, which corner should he go to? Should he go to the southeast corner, make a right and go to the southeast corner, or should he make a left and go to the southwest corner? So the Gemara in Zerachim says, on Daf Samach Beis, a big Yisoy, Kol Pinoy Sha'ata Poine, any time you have to turn, Loitifne Elalimin, you should always turn to the right. So the Gemara says it to explain this Mishnah. That's why it says, Olav HaKevesh Ufana LaSoyviv, he would turn off on the Soyviv. Where did he go first? Uvaloi LeKeren Deroimis Mizrachis. He went to the southeast corner, because he's going up on the south. So where's the southeast corner? To his right. And then he continues around from there, counterclockwise. Mizrachis Sefainis, he goes there to the northeast corner. Then Sefainis Maravis will cross to the northwest corner. Maravis Deroimis, and then to the southwest corner. So he went through all four corners going around counterclockwise. Now you'll ask me, even though when he turns first, he turns to the right, but now the entire way he's going to the left. So why is that good? So Rashi says over there in Zvachim that he made the right turn, he goes to the right, and then he walks sideways, always facing the Mizbeach. He's always moving towards his right. He's facing the Mizbeach, the Kohen walks sideways, he gets to this corner, then he walks sideways again, facing the Mizbeach, goes to this corner. So he's always moving sideways to his right. The entire way he goes to the right, a Kohen has to know this before he does the Avodah, how he does the Hazoyah V'chatas. He walks sideways along the Soyveh, and then he goes around all the way moving to his right, until he gets back to the original ramp, and then comes down. So that's what it says. Ketzad Olav HaKevesh, he goes up the ramp. Ufana LaSoyveh, he turns off to the ledge. Uvolay L'Karen Deraimis Mizrachis. Mizrachis Tzafoynis. Tzafoynis Maravis. Maravis Deraimis. All the way around. Now, what does he do when he finishes all of that? He has the remainder of the blood now in the bowl. So we know what he does. He does Shvich HaShirayim. Shiyorei Hadam, the remainder of the blood. HaYashoyfech, he would pour Al Yesoy Deraimi on the southern base of the Mizbeach. That means he would go now back to where he started. Near the Kevesh, there was a little bit of a Yesoid on the base over there. He would pour all the blood on that south side, on the base of the Mizbeach. Fine, so that's now he's finished with the Avodah of the Karban Chatas. Now, how does the Karban Chatas get eaten? So it says, V'necholim lifnim in haklam. The Karban Chatas had to be eaten within the curtains of the Azara. That means you couldn't go outside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash and eat this in your own home. The Kohen had to eat it, dafka, in the courtyard of the Azara, which was surrounded by curtains. So lifnim in haklam has to eat it inside of the curtains. Lezichrei kahuna, to the male Kohenim. That means a person who was not a Kohen, even a Levi, could not eat a Karban Chatas. Only a Kohen and only to the males. The Kohenim could not give it to their wives for supper. The Kohenim could eat it only with their sons, and they themselves, lezichrei kahuna, the males of the kahuna, b'chol ma'achol doesn't mean that you could eat it with ketchup and mustard and any type of food. B'chol ma'achol means you could prepare it in any manner that you want. This is as opposed to the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, you know how you have to eat it? Karban Pesach, you couldn't eat it any other way. It had to be roasted. It says Sliyesh, it has to be roasted. Karban Pesach is only roasted. But any other karban, it says always in the Mishnayos, we'll see the next few Mishnayos, b'chol machol, you could eat it any way you want. Cooked, roasted, any way you want. So that's what it means, b'chol machol. L'yoyim v'layla, you have a day and a night. That means the day that the karban was brought until the end of that day, till Shkia, and then that night until the morning. Ad chatzos, but you really only have until midnight. Ad chatzos until midnight. Now why do you only have till midnight? The real din of the carbon is that you're supposed to be able to eat it a day and a night. So why? Till the night is till Alois HaShachar, till the morning. So why is it Ad Chatzos? So the reason for this is because if a person waits until after Chatzos, so he might push it off a little more, and he might wait until the morning. If he waits until the morning, then if he eats the carbon after it's already nicer, very good, so then he's going to be Chayav Kareis. So in order, lahachik asodam an avera, to make a person distanced from doing an avera, we make sure a cutoff point he has to eat it until chatzos. Another 2 days is the siyam hashas, and they're going to start over again, brachas tavbeza mer aleph. So this is the first mishnah in shas. The first mishnah says, v'chol hanecholim liyoyim echor, anything that's eaten for one day, you never knew what that meant, so now it means a karban chatas. Any carbon that's eaten for one day, mitzvah san ad sheyala amur hashachar. The real mitzvah is to eat it a whole night. Im kein lama amru chachamim ad chatzos. So why did Chacham say ad chatzos? Where did Chacham say that? Right here in this Mishnah. L'yoyim v'layla ad chatzos. They said chatzos. Why did they say chatzos? You really have all day? Kedei l'hachik asodam an avera. In order to distance a person from an avera, like Rashi says there in Brachos, that if he waits to eat it till the morning, then he'll be chayiv karas. Similar by Kriya Shema, a person has time really till the morning, but we say, Chachamim say, till Chatzos, L'harchik Asoda min Aveira, to distance a person from Aveira. So that's the pshat over here, why Ad Chatzos. Just want to end with one beautiful pshat that the Vilna Gaon said. The lashon of this Mishnah is a little bit strange. The Mishnah says, V'nechalin lifnim min haklam. It has to be eaten inside the curtains. Now the Azara, the courtyard, in the Mishkan, and in the Beis HaMikdash, looked a little different. In the Mishkan, when they had the Mishkan in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was surrounded by curtains. They used to have to take down the curtains and keep traveling. That was surrounded by cloth and by curtains. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, in both Batei Mikdash, the first and the second one, the courtyard, the Azara, was not surrounded by curtains. There was a wall, a real wall, Chayim Asa Azara, the wall around the Azara. So now in the times of the Mishnah, we're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. The times of the Mishnah, the Tanaim, were in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Mishkan. So in the times of the Mishnah, when the Tana wants to say that you have to eat it in the courtyard, it should say, Lifnim in HaChoyma Shal HaAzara, or B'Soicha HaAzara, in the courtyard. Why does it say Lifnim in HaKloim, inside the curtains? There were no curtains. The curtains is the terminology that would make sense if we're talking about the Mishkan. But why does it say Lifnim in HaKloim, when the Mishnah is talking about the Tanaim in the times of the Beis HaMikdash? So I saw in a sefer, on this week's Pasha, in Pasha's Vayakel, there's a sefer called Peninim Mishulchan HaGro. It's a likut of different pshatim that the Gro said. Some of them are in Sfarim, some of them are not. And in Pasha's Vayakel, in the Peninim Mishulchan HaGro, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Tes, he brings over there that the Briskerov, the Griz, Briskerov was the great-grandson of the Vilna Gaon. He says that he has a Kabbalah that he heard from the Gaon. This is not written anywhere, but he has a Kabbalah that he heard father from the Vilna Gaon, that he explained pshat in this Mishnah. Why it says kloim, why it says curtains, if we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. And he said as follows. If you remember when you started last time, why do we say Perek Ezehu Mekayman? Why dafka this Perek of all Prakim and Shas? Fine, it talks about Karbanos, but why dafka this Perek? So the Torah said, because if a person says the Mishnayis of Karbanos, it's as if he brought a Karban. And this Mishnah goes through the exact order of all the Karbanos. However, the Beis Yosef in Simen Nun brings from the Ra'ah, I mentioned last time that the Ra'ah says, one of the Rishonim, the Ritva's Rebbe, the Ra'ah says that this Perek was a Perek that was handed down to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, and the Lashon was never tampered with. The language of this Mishnah was never changed. It's Mishnah Brura L'Moshe Misinai. That's why this is the only Perek in Shas. There's no Machlekes mentioned in this Perek. Everything was very clear. There's no Suffolk. There's no Machlekes. Everything was very clear. This is exactly the Lashon, the way it was handed down to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. It was a Mishnah Brura L'Moshe Misinai. That's we had to pass from generation to generation. That's why in the morning when we want to learn Mishnayis, we dafka pick this Perek, because this Perek was exactly with the same Lashon that it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. If that's the case, says the Vilna Gaon, if this was the exact Lashon that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, Hashem told Moshe with a language that was appropriate for the Mishkan. Because there wasn't a Lashon that the Tanoim wrote thousands of years later. It was a Lashon that Hashem told Moshe about the Mishkan. We didn't tamper this Lashon. We still use the Klam because we get the idea. It means it has to be eaten inside the courtyard. But it says Klam, Lefnim Minak Klam. This is a pshat that the Gaon says, that it says Minak Klam because it was Dafka, the Lashon that was used in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the times of the Mishkan. And that's why Meduktak over here, it says Lefnim Minak Klam. So by the way, that the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnayis in Zvachim is Mamish Mechavim to this pshat as well. He doesn't bring from the Gaon, but he just says on this Mishnah, why does it say Klam? Klam is a Lashon of the Mishkan. So if you look in the Yachin Ubayas Mishnayis, he brings the Tiferes Yisrael. He says, because this, since the Ra'ah says that this was Mishnah Brua L'Moshe Misinai, so we use the Lashon that was passed at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so we'll stop here.